Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get this show completely ad-free, you can do so by subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/ndtechs. You will also receive 2 extra posts a week, and once the college football season gets rolling, some extended podcast episodes from Shane and I. Again, that can be done at patreon.com/ndtechs for just $1 a month, and come join new patrons Stephanie J, Winston P, Dan P, and Melty. Thank you all for your continued support.
Since we are the loyal sons,
well, hello and welcome to another edition of the HLS Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can catch this podcast by subscribing over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you have to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel, herloyalsons.com/Discord. Sim Night coming tomorrow, live on twitch.tv/herloyalsons. And of course, you can always catch us at herloyalsons.com, where we've actually had posts, believe it or not. With all that said, time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, sir?
Ryan, my boy, I enjoyed the delicious, and oh, it was a delicious appetizer that we got out of week zero.
Oh, but my goodness.
It is college football time for real. Let's fucking go, baby.
You know, anytime you have a week where you say, damn, if we didn't underestimate UTEP, you had a pretty good week.
I do have a bone to pick with you, though. I realize that you haven't been betting in the last college football season. You've taken some time off. Why did you feel the need to spite the gods by posting prematurely a perfect slate when there was one game left that may have been the last leg of my parlay as well? We don't spite the gods, Ryan.
I wasn't spiting. I was happy. I was feeling it because there was some other stuff on that parlay. That was not on that parlay that hit, and I had most of those things straight up as well. So it was very beneficial financially, but on the board. I hope you didn't fade us because you had a shitty week. If you did. We now come out the gate 4-1, and we are coming out in week one absolutely loaded. I'm not here to spite the gods, Eddie. I'm here to take my victory when I can get it. But look,
I'm just making sure. I know it's been a while since you were in the game, so I just wanted to remind you, you know, there are sharks in those waters.
There are sharks in those waters. Look, I figure forgetting to put the gambler mix music may have been making up for it, because I figured out, literally it dawned on me before recording this episode, I might have forgotten it. I went to review the tape. I absolutely forgot it. Yeah. So my bad. I will remember it this time around. But look, week zero, you get some practice in, you get it out of the way. So I know that 4-1, even though it counts in our little friendly wager, I mean, it might as well not, because we're both even. But that's like preseason stuff. Like now we got to get into the meat.
Yes, we got to get
into the real meat of things. And we got a 12-pack of games for you, including the first Notre Dame pick of the season. If you're new here to the pick show, we will have the Notre Dame game at the end of the show. But oh, buddy, is week one loaded. So, Eddie, it's going to be a heck of an episode. I say we get right into it. Are you ready, sir?
Absolutely stacked slate. Let's go, baby.
All right, we start off on a Thursday night, 7 p.m. in God's time zone on Fox. Ohio State goes on the road, rowing a boat up to Minnesota, if you will. They are a 14-point favorite. Total on this one is 66. This line, interestingly enough, has not moved. Staying at that 14. What do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, it hasn't moved, and the entire universe is on Ohio State right now. Normally on Wednesday, you got to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, but Action Network had 11,000 bets plus and they've got 81% tickets and 85% money.
Yeah, I'm showing 12.5K right now.
Oh, so it's, I mean, gone up since I checked it earlier.
Yeah.
Minnesota's bringing everybody back. They've got 10 starters back on both sides of the ball. We talked about Ohio State a little bit last week. They've only got 11 starters back coming total, including a new quarterback. All that being said, they've got stud running backs. They've got maybe the best receiver room in the country. And Minnesota was a 3-4 team last year for a reason. It's great that you're bringing everybody back, but if they weren't very good, how much good does that really do you, you know? I hate being on this public of a side, but I don't think PJ's got the speed in his boats to keep up with Ohio State this year. I'll lay the 14.
Yeah, I'm laying the 14 as well. Like I've said before, I really think we got to be very careful, at least. And it's hard early out of the gate because you have so little to go off on. We don't have actual data points, so you want to look at that returning starters coming back. But everybody's got a load of starters coming back. Toledo's got all their starters are coming back. You keep looking at all that kind of stuff, and look, you know, that's great that everybody's coming back. But like you said, Eddie, we saw the data point of what those starters look like. This isn't like the NCAA game where everybody has an off-season workout, starts jumping up 12 to 10 points in their overall rating. Just don't work out like that. Look, Minnesota has got a couple decent players, but Ohio State, it's just that talent thing. I have a feeling like if you want to get frisky, maybe you think Ohio State comes out a little slow, and maybe you might get frisky with Minnesota in the first half, but at the end of the day, Ohio State could cover this by running the football. So I'm not really overly worried about it. I don't like being on as public of a side as it is, especially when the line hasn't moved at all. That's the one that worries me. But you know what? Prove me wrong on this one. I'm taking Ohio State as well. Let's go time warp to Friday evening, early evening. Get off work early. 5 p.m. in God's time zone on ESPN, we got North Carolina and Virginia Tech. 5.5-point favorite is North Carolina on the road. 64.5 is the total. And again, a line that hasn't moved much since the open. And I've said it before that the entire world feels like they're on North Carolina, and that's the case in this game. There's not nearly as many bets. Action Network is currently showing a little over 4,000, but yes, all the tickets, all the money is on North Carolina to the tune of 88%. But on the other side of the football, I'm wondering what Virginia Tech's got in the tank. Even though it's at home, but we know Blacksburg is not a tough place to play. That is now a myth. Whenever it was, it hadn't been recent, especially when you have top-ranked teams coming in. You're going to give me a touchdown to beat Virginia Tech. I think Sam Howell and company can pull that off. The only thing that worries me in this game is that North Carolina is actually replacing some playmakers. There are a lot of yards and a lot of TDs that are getting replaced on that team on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't think Virginia Tech can cut it, though. So go ahead and give me the Tar Heels on the road. Who do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, the Tar Heels are replacing some guys at skill positions, but, and close your ears, Texas fans, this may hurt a little bit. Mack Brown has been recruiting his ass off at Carolina.
And in the right positions, too.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would say that again, but he's been doing a yeoman's effort. Look, Virginia Tech gave up 56 points to these guys last year. I don't think things have gotten much better for Justin Fuente and crew. I don't know how much longer Fuente's going to be there. You know, we talked last week about some of these magic hires that we thought were no-brainers that just haven't panned out. Fuente's, you know, absolutely top five in that combo. I don't think Virginia Tech can do much to slow North Carolina down, and I don't think they can do enough to keep up with them. I'm really surprised this line is under a touchdown. Again, back-to-back public-ass sides doesn't feel great, but week one is such a toss-up that there are worse times for it. So I'm all right with the Heels as well.
Yeah, and the funny part, the line movement, I mean, we got some, and I think some of it may have to do with the other books we have in play now. I'm wondering if that's affecting it. But going from 6.5 to 5.5 on the consensus when there's that much action on the side that went down, really weird.
Yeah, don't love the reverse line movement.
Yeah, but hey, look, like you said, it's early. You got to go with your gut feeling sometimes and not overthink it. But this will be a heck of a preview for Irish fans to check out what two teams on their schedule are bringing. And if you want to wake up, get ready for that noon slate or 11 a.m. slate. FS1's got another Notre Dame preview for you. And that is Stanford going over to the little Big Apple, the little apple in Manhattan, Kansas State, who is a 3-point favorite against the Trees. Who do you got, Eddie?
Well, I've got a surprise for you. They're not in Manhattan. They're in your backyard. This game is inexplicably at Jerry World.
I forgot it was neutral.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why in God's name, A, is this a neutral side game, and B, would they play this at Jerry World? I have no fucking clue. Absolutely bizarre. I still think K-State's going to have the home crowd because, I mean, you don't expect too much when the game is at the farm. I don't really worry about Stanford fans traveling too well.
No, not in this climate either. Just yeah. Saying.
I'm on K-State here, easy. Stanford has – David Shaw already came out and said that Stanford's playing two quarterbacks. And we all know the old adage, if you got two quarterbacks, two starting quarterbacks, you don't have any. Stanford does not look like they're going to be very good at all this year. K-State's got their super senior quarterback with Thompson, and they've got a new tiny fast running back, a little throwback to the halcyon days of Darren Sproles. So I love that. Stanford's already got one of their top receivers missing. They're missing two of their D-backs. And then you throw in an 11 a.m. kickoff, which is 9 a.m. for those guys.
Body clock.
Body clock. Give me the Wildcats.
All right. Yeah, I'm on the Wildcats as well for similar reasons. Hey, can we talk about David Shaw and people that might not be long for the gigs? If Stanford actually cared, maybe he'd be in more danger, but he's probably got a couple more years of whatever he's trying to do right now.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they were 4-2 last season. K-State 4-6, but I feel very comfortable. You got the weird body clock stuff, and honestly, I just see Stanford going in the continuous wrong direction. Great for us since we have to play them, but this game should well enough pretty much confirm what we think Stanford's going to be, and that's not a very good football team. Even with the neutral site, you know, completely forgetting about that slash not knowing, or really, let's be honest, I didn't look it up. I just sat here and like, oh, they're listed below Stanford. They're clearly the right, home yeah. team. Forgot about all these neutral site bullshit. I remember a couple of them, though, so we'll be good on that. But yeah, I like K-State in this one. They got to play for the pride of the Big 12. You got the other storyline of they're doing a tryout right now, secret tryouts for other conferences. Like, hey, American, hit me up, man. You know, Pac-12. Why don't you bring us
Big 10, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, so yeah, let's go ahead and take the Wildcats here. Let's move to the big noon kickoff over on Fox. Now, in case you haven't noticed and you forgot like I did when Nebraska and Illinois finally kicked off, this game will not kick off at noon. So remember, they're going to give you about 15 to 20 minutes of bullshit before the big – why do you call it big noon kickoff when you don't even fucking kick off at noon? Like
lies
so
everywhere.
Many lies. It makes me so angry, so fucking angry. But anyways – another Notre Dame preview in this one as Penn State and Wisconsin go on a little bit of a tilt here. Wisconsin, the 5.5-point favorite. Total on this one is 50. And you know what, Eddie? I'm going to, you know, I know you're not picking yet, but I'm going to remind you of a little bit of something you said.
I am planting my goddamn flag on this hill, and I'm going to be there at least until Soldier Field. I think Wisconsin is fraudulent as fuck. I do not see the hype behind them. I can't believe people are talking about us being a dog to them. I'm supposed to be scared of Graham Mertz because he put up 40 on Illinois and Michigan. Like, he goes down, they have all their COVID stuff, and then they're barely eking out a touchdown a game at the end.
So, well, we'll just throw that out there to let everybody marinate on Eddie's thoughts from the Week Zero podcast. I made sure to mark it. I made sure to save it. I have a feeling that'll be getting some play a little bit later on. I don't know, maybe a couple weeks from now.
It's a solid drop.
It's very solid. And I made sure to mark it. I made sure to lay out to give Eddie the space to let that sucker breathe. But yes, Grant Mertz and company are going to take on Penn State. Honestly, the way I see this game is two very even teams, to be honest. Both that have questions on both sides of the ball. But really, Penn State, the big story, at least for me last year, was their defense. Now, they didn't have now Cowboy Micah Parsons and opting out, and that was a huge blow to their defense. And I don't ever think they really recovered from that. Well, they got a year to figure it out. They actually got a training camp to figure it out. And you got Wisconsin that is, you know, they had all kinds of weirdness happen to them last season, too. Their offense looked great, like you said, in that rant for a week. It looked awesome. And then they were struggling to put points together. And then Penn State's offense also has struggled to put points together. This feels kind of like a little bit of a rock fight-ish might break out. I'm not sure if it will or not. But the other thing that is making me lean that direction is, we've talked about, hey, we got public-ass sides. At least the tickets and the money have all been going to one location. But this one, you got 66% of the tickets, but 52% of the money on Penn State. Somebody might know something. Action Network is claiming sharp money on Wisconsin's side, but I like that the money is going one direction, but all the public tickets are going the other. So I'm going to go ahead and say this one's close. I think Wisconsin ultimately wins. But near a touchdown favorite, the fact that the line has actually moved 2 points since it opened at 3.5, which feels like a much closer line, I'll go ahead and take that little extra runway and take the points for Penn State. Who do you got, Eddie?
Finally. God, all of these same picks were just, it felt gross. I felt like I needed steel wool to cleanse myself.
So after all that fraudulent as fuck rant, you're
look,
going
the
to.
The point of the fraudulent as fuck rant was for all of the Wisconsin's a top 10 team, Wisconsin could win the Big Ten talk. I don't think any of that is going to happen, and it is fraudulent on that degree. That being said, I also, as you will recall, said that I think the Big Ten as a whole is going to be very down this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wisconsin is the second best team in that conference. I think they are levels above Penn State. They are going to have all of their offensive toys back and should be much better. Throw in the fact that you're playing at home, you know those Wisconsin fans are ready to party because they have been missing this like crazy. They got all hyped up over the summer for the Bucks title run. They're going to be in a full lather. They're probably already tailgating right now. You mentioned Micah Parsons is gone. That defense never coalesced at all last year, and it doesn't seem like they've really been bringing in the talent to do any better. I am going to be heavily invested on the under in this game because I just don't think there are going to be that many points. But I don't think you're going to get really any at all out of Penn State. I'm going to lay it with the Badgers.
Oh, all right. Well, finally, we do go different. We're back now. Well, let's see what we have here. We got another Big Ten matchup. It's so Big Ten, they put it on the Big Ten Network, 2:30 in God's time zone. And that is Indiana and Iowa, two teams that got 6 wins last year in a very short season. Iowa, a 3.5-point favorite. Total on this one is a lovely, lovely Big Ten under 50 here, 48.5. Who do you got, Eddie?
And it's 10 points too high. talk about games you're going to pound the under in.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. This is the quintessential early Big Ten game that's like 10 to 7 or something.
Unders in the 40s, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're back. I'm not expecting any points at all. And you know what? Phoenix is back. Phoenix is ready to be released. Hadn't felt those balls in so long. It's Phoenix time.
Oh, God. I can't breathe. Oh, man.
Come on, you knew that pick was coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it?
Got it.
There it is. You didn't get it. That was the best part.
Of all the drops I put in here, I didn't put the phrasing drop. Damn it. All right, well, yeah, we got another rock fight here in the classic type. Yeah, look, Indiana had a great run. I can't believe we're doing this. We're finally going separate ways.
Yes.
Eddie, what happened? We were so simpatico, and then the Big Ten came and broke us apart.
I mean, as the prophecy foretold.
But look, the bottom line for me here, look, if you want to feel better about this, Eddie, which I think you feel fine, loads of the money is on Indiana, while barely over half the tickets are on Iowa. 69%, it's a very nice percentage of the money on Indiana. But I'm going to go ahead and take the slightly public on the ticket side. One of the things that I'm doing, I think a lot of that money started coming in and started getting pounded in, maybe early, because the line started moving a lot. This line opened at 6. So that tells me that Vegas finally admitted, uh-oh, shit, let's move something. And they haven't done that so many times. A lot of these lines have been pretty close to what they opened at. And this one moved almost a full field goal. That damn hook, though. I do not like it. And I am utterly worried that that's going to screw me. But the bottom line is, I think Indiana caught a lot of people by surprise. But the teams they caught by surprise weren't in the level of rock fight-ish Iowa. And as far as if there's a team that is a little bit less susceptible to some of the crazy bullshit, it's a team that typically is a little bit more fundamentally sound, typically comes out with the good defense, boring-ass offense. It just bores the shit out of you to death. So, look, I do think Penix is coming in hard as he possibly can. But I tell you what, there's nothing that'll ruin your good time like a slow-ass Iowa offense and annoying defense. So, Hold on, buddy. Stay strong. Stay hard as long as you can. But, yeah, I'm taking Iowa. All right. How about we go ahead and hit one of those bangers, Eddie? We've been really warming up for a while. We got Alabama. We got Miami. Neutral site. 2:30 on ABC. Alabama is a 19-point favorite in this one. Miami has and Alabama have a total of 61.5. Ooh, you want to talk about everybody just being public on one side? Well, that's on Bama. 75% of the money, 75% of the tickets, 79% of the money on Bama. And man, I don't want to do. See, I'm worried about this, Eddie. You can probably already tell where I'm going since I'm stuttering right now, because I don't want to doubt Bama. They are a covering machine. Last season, they just covered. It didn't matter how high it was. They covered until they faced Ian Book and the Irish. They finally didn't cover. And that was because I taunted them that they would. I even put Extra Life money on it. I lost.
You did. You erased the great COVID universe altering mistake of records. Everything has been purged. Last season didn't happen. My record remains clean.
Yeah, worth it. All right, whatever. All right, but in this one, look, 19 is a hell of a lot of points with the new quarterback. 19 is a hell of a lot of points when you're replacing basically the entire offense. Now, look, Alabama's got it. Alabama absolutely has it. They're going to win this game. They're going to win it comfortably. This game is screaming De'Ari King is going to pull some bullshit out and just keep it close enough. And by close enough, I mean within 2 touchdowns, maybe 17 points. 19 is too many in the early season. I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way now, because after a single game, I think Vegas will have the number pegged, and I think whatever slowed him down in this opener is going to be gone. We got a neutral site, so that I wish Miami was playing in front of their home crowd, because that might help me tip this a little bit more, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm taking a risk here. I don't like it. I think this is wrong, but I'm going with my gut, Eddie, and I'm going against the public finally. Give me Miami. This feels dirty. What do you got?
Ryan, when we were in school together, did you know that I was a history major?
You were a history major.
Completely useless for the real world. Can't do anything with it. But history is important. Teaches us a lot of things.
Oh, boy. Am I going to get a lesson, Eddie?
You know, I think you might. I was reading Stuart Mandel's mailbag today at The Athletic, and somebody tried to bring up a similar idea you did. You know, surely this is the year Alabama falls off. Surely with someone as talented as Derek King.
Whoa.
No, in the first game.
No,
but they're not going to be able to cover because – Yeah, no, that's – I'm not trying to go over-exaggerate what you're saying.
Okay.
But then Stu threw some numbers out. In these non-conference openers, Alabama 9-1 against the spread since 2008. They're 12-2 in openers since Saban's gotten there against the spread, undefeated in all of these games. Average spread in those games, 16.1 points. Average margin of victory, 25.3 points. Saban just beats the shit out of people to open the season. He's not here to play around. He did it to SC. He did it to Florida State. He's done it to damn near everybody. Pretty much just West Virginia was the only one that he didn't cover against. I'm not tugging on Superman's cape. I'm not pissing in the wind. Roll down tide.
Okay. I love how you started rolling out those teams like they were teams like, oh, yeah, just look at these mammoths that he covered against. SC, Florida State. Hey, you forgot Duke. I remember enough history.
Sure. That's like, fair.
I mean, yes, he has. I didn't read Stu's article, but I have heard that same factoid as well, in these, especially the neutral site openers, where they have had these out-of-conference matchups. Now, I'm not saying Miami is on some kind of Clemson or Georgia level or anything like that, but just a little bit better. I think they can actually put up a little bit of the fight. The thing that terrifies me is Miami's defense. That's where I am worried, but if anybody has the kind of quarterback that gives Nick Saban's defense fits is the one that you can't kind of plan for. It's the old bullshit, you know, the playground, just draw it up in the sand and do stuff. That's a De'Aaron King. That's his wheelhouse. Now, he's got to do this off injury, which also concerns me. But if there's a spot to where you might just fall a little short, because I'm looking at a 17-ish point victory here. I'm not saying this is going to be an easy cover for Miami. It's going to be by the skin of the teeth. It's going to be some backdoor bullshit. Let's be honest. That's what we're looking for in this one.
Hey, nobody knows the siren song of De'Aaron King more than me.
Hey, but look, I got to stick with my value pick here. It's got to happen in this game or that's worthless. So I'm going to go down with the damn ship, okay?
Well, that's always a good mentality for week one.
All right, well, we are going to have a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we got some more games, and of course, Notre Dame, Florida State, right after this. Okay, we are back, and I like how we go from Alabama, Miami. We got another barn burner, Eddie. We got a real one right here. Down in Austin, 3:30. This is so big, Fox is going to televise this. Future SEC stalwart, Texas, is an 8.5-point favorite against Louisiana Lafayette. And, oh, man, let's go back here. You get to lead off this one. I'll let you do your thing, and maybe I'll give you a history lesson, Eddie. Let's see how you feel about this game.
All right. Well, the line has absolutely been diving on this. It's down to 8.5. It's down to 8.5 now. It opened at 16.5. And had you asked me last week, one, if I still had that line, I would easily be on Lulof. But even at 8.5, I might have considered it last week. Here's the problem. You're dealing with college kids. A lot of these college kids from Louisiana. Louisiana just got crushed by a giant hurricane. Mm-hmm. And who knows what's going on in these kids' head. You know, you don't know where their family's at. You don't know where their friend's at. Are some of the guys going to be worried about that? Very well could be. It definitely fucked up their training for the last week and a half. So you got to wonder how ready they're going to be to play, because you're not getting your standard pregame prep in for the game week. Trusting Texas is hard. Trusting Sark is hard. But Bijan Robinson is very good, and it's with the huge switch that we've had going 8 entire points. I think at this point the value has flipped back to Texas. Everybody has bet it all on Luloff, and then all these extenuating circumstances on top of it. I don't feel great about this pick, but I'm going to take the Horns to cover.
So the history lesson, Eddie, do you remember what happened the last time the Big 12 played some out-of-conference folks? Most of them are from what conference? Do you remember what happened early season?
Conference
just ravaged the Big 12?
I do not.
Oh, the Fun Belt, man.
Uh-huh.
Where's Louisiana Lafayette play?
I believe they are part of the Fun Belt Conference.
They are part of the Fun Belt. I am looking for Fun Belt dominance to continue. Now, look, the thing is that, well, yes, you do have the very serious thing about Hurricane Ida coming in. There are going to be some heavy hearts, tired bodies, and some mental flagginess that's just going to come along with it. There's no doubt about that. I'm of the belief that more often than not, when you get something like a football game, you're able to not necessarily snap out of it, but you got something that can help get you through it, because they're going to be in front of a full stadium. There will be fans. There'll be things that'll help them, I think, push through. Plus, they get a shot at a program like Texas. Now, Louisiana Lafayette is not just some random group of five team. I mean, this is a team that went 9-1 last season. They're pretty damn good. I don't trust Sark. I can't trust him. And the other weird part about this thing is I wish I had like a chart to really see where the bets were going. Because now, and it's likely due to the line movement, now the public's on Texas, which is making me, it's 55% of the tickets, 68% of the bets total on 2.5K on a Wednesday, mind you. It'll be interesting to see where this goes in a couple of days. That is where Texas is sitting right now. I do not trust Texas. I especially don't trust their defense. And I think Louisiana Lafayette's got enough to keep the pace for over a touchdown. I definitely wish I had that original line because, oh man, I would absolutely take that in a heartbeat right now. But I think over a touchdown is kind of what cinches it for me. If it was 7.5, I might waver. If it was under a touchdown, I might try to go Texas. But again, Texas has got such a big target on their back, man. And it's not just from people in the Big 12. So,
well, there's no doubt with the SEC thing, they've got to show up. They can't come out and, you know, have a 6-win year.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take some gambling risk here. Again, the Big 12 broke Eddie and I up. It's just continuing right now. Just full disagreements up and down the board. Well, I'll be interested to see where he's on the next one. I did this mostly as a preview Notre Dame opponent type pick. Plus, we got to see a little bit of San Jose State, who is taking on the Trojans of Southern Cal. Unfortunately, what I did not realize is this game is on the Pac-12 network, so it probably doesn't even happen. Does anybody ever get that network? I sure don't. I don't know where to find it.
I think I did for like a week.
I got it on DirecTV back when I had it by like accident when they were testing it for like a day, and that was it. But anyway, if you happen to have it and can find it, it'll be on at 4 p.m. there. So don't flip around. Save yourself the stress. If you don't have it like most of the nation, then don't worry about it. But Southern Cal coming out as a 14.5-point favorite in this one. I now turn it over to noted Southern Cal fan, Eddie McCarthy, who picked the Trojans to win the Pac-12. Sir, your thoughts?
Ryan, the canonical lore is that you are, in fact, a noted Southern Cal enthusiast.
I did not pick them to win the Pac-12.
You did mention that I picked them to win the Pac-12, and given that, it would be foolish of me to pick against them this week. So I am taking the Trojans here. Lines moved down by 2 points. It wasn't 16.5, so getting a little extra value there. The hook scares the shit out of me because this feels like a 14-point win. I'm not going to lie. San Jose State got the job done against Southern Utah last week. But the second half, I don't know if it was letting up the gas or Southern Utah started playing a lot better. Second half, Southern Utah
was not playing much better. I watched that game.
Yeah, I feel like San Jose just kind of I don't know if they ran out of gas or what, but the second half was not pretty. I guess. Either way, it was not pretty. I hate the hook. I'm probably going to lose by the hook, but we're going to take the Southern Cal Trojans at least for a week.
Yeah, and I mean, the public's with you as far as the tickets. Very slightly, 53% of the bet, so it's not a huge difference that I'm about to come up here. But they do have 62% of the money to San Jose State. Now, I do wonder how much of that was off of what was an awesome first half against really not much of a defense or much of a team at all as far as talent comparison in Southern Utah. It was just a total mismatch. So I'm not putting too much stock in that game. What I am going to put stock into as far as getting to play week zero is they got some real game reps. They got to play somebody that's not themselves. And, man, Southern Cal, they're just so hard to trust because, it, like you said, it's really that hook. That's what does it as far as worrying about taking them. And that all being said, here's the problem. They're really talented. And did you see what San Jose did? Well, you may not have. I mean, you had to go dig around to find San Jose, and I think it was on CBS Sports, if I remember right, or something. Mm-hmm. When you have a big mismatch of talent, more often than not, the talent wins out by a lot. We talked about it with Ohio State and Minnesota, North Carolina and Virginia Tech. Even though Alabama and Miami have it, I got scared. But that was a 3-plus-point spread. This is not 3-point plus, 3-possession plus, 3-score plus. This is right on the edge of that. So even though the hook's there, I think San Jose State's about to get a rude awakening. And look, Clay Helton, bless him. When you come out and your dominance and you're in your seventh year, you start out big because you know you got to establish dominance that I'm here to keep this job. I hear all the noise, but I'm going to just smack San Jose State around and let everybody know that I'm here to stay. So good on you, Clay Helton.
We're rooting for you, Clay.
We're rooting for you, not just because we're both taking you in this, but because, yeah, you got to stay. Best coach Southern Cal's ever seen.
Lifetime contract.
Yeah, found out that there's an older gentleman that is a Southern Cal fan at my work, or vaguely. So he saw me wearing Notre Dame stuff around and said he's going to find some Southern Cal stuff. I almost feel bad talking trash to him.
No, almost. You shouldn't. Almost. You went to college when I did. Don't ever feel bad. Fuck those guys.
It's like, yeah, I remember growing up back when they beat Notre Dame all the time. I'm like, yeah, that was a long time. Oh, it's been fun. But yeah, the other thing that worries me, though, is that a lot of the money is on San Jose State. But I just have a feeling that is a little bit of hope. Maybe that was some early movement. I don't know. The actual ticket spread is not that much of a difference to worry. It's a public-ass play. But there we go. All right. Now, look, Eddie, I know this is the game you're looking forward to. And that is the Roadrunners of UTSA coming in to face the Illini. Hot off the BERT, coming in and establishing dominance in week zero. On Scott Frost Day, no less. Coming in. That has made them a 5.5-point favorite. The total in this one, God bless you, Big Ten football. I love seeing these numbers. 49.5. The Big Ten Network is going to be your home at the 6:30 hour if you want to go watch that in God's time zone. And, you know, the Puntcast had a good theory. I know you are a fan of the Puntcast. They said they were going to fade the fuck out of whoever won Nebraska and Illinois.
Now, they did.
I think that's a very sound theory. There was a lot of other theories that didn't fly so well.
They have already gone against that theory if you've listened to today's episode.
Oh, no! I have not. Oh, man. I have not had a chance yet. But I think that's what they need to do. UTSA is actually a decent football team. And now there's a little bit of tape. And look, we know what Burt's bringing. UTSA can keep up with that. I really do. I don't think we really saw Illinois get pushed, so I think this is one that sneaks up on people mostly, and the line movement going back down is kind of Vegas like, come on, please, please, we need you to go bet the other side. I'll go bet the other side here. I'll take that. Go ahead and give me the Roadrunners. Who do you got?
Mimi, baby.
Yes, we're back.
There's a whole lot of people on the Roadrunners. 53% of the tickets may be on Illinois. At least when I checked, 83% of the money is riding with the Roadrunners. Now, it was under 1,000 tickets at the time because, let's be serious, it's fucking UTSA versus Illinois.
We got 1,000 bets now, and there's still 80% of the money.
There you go. Yes, Illinois had the big upset over Nebraska, but we tried to tell y'all last week Nebraska's trash. Throw in the Illinois, you don't know who you're going to have at quarterback with the injury that we saw to the starter early on in that game. Sedatowski played well as a backup, but
handed the ball off perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. This UTSA team was 7-4 last year, and they've got 21 of 22 starters back. Like, this is a prepared team. People are kind of horned for this team, and there's a reason why. With the questions for Illinois quarterback, and I mean, that was an ugly game. I think you're going to have plenty of turnovers available. Give me the Roadrunners.
It was ugly.
And we're on the money line. You know.
Yes, sprinkle it. Yes, there we go. I was going to ask you if we're going to sprinkle. Yes, I am definitely sprinkling there. It's going to be the first sprinkle of the season. But I tell you what, as ugly as that Nebraska-Illinois game was, it gave us like an all-time great gambling moment on the under. Winning it on not one, but two shanked extra points.
Man, talk about remembering how a sweat feels right out the gate, game of the year. Oof.
It's been a while since I felt so alive, folks, and that did it. But the funny part was special teams gave 2 points to the total and took it away. Like, Scott Frost giveth and taketh. It all balanced out. That is also the most hilarious safety I've ever seen either.
God, that was just – I honestly thought that they may have kiffened – Scott Frost in the parking lot just left his ass. It's, ooh, man, ugly, ugly, ugly.
It was ugly. It was hilarious. I actually wrote about Nebraska's headaches on my Patreon because it stuck with me, man. That game was something else to witness and watch. But yeah, there's a functional football team coming into town. So,
UTSA. Yeah. Beep,
beep. Let's do it. Another, I don't know about the under on this one, though. I think UTSA could actually put up some points.
I very much think they can.
All right, let's move on. Oh, here we go. We got the other highlight. Your primetime game on ABC, 6:30 in God's time zone. Georgia, Clemson. If I remember right, this I do know is neutral site, but I believe it's no ordinary neutral site. I believe this is part of the Duke's Mayo doubleheader.
Don't care. Fuck Duke's Mayo. Bitch ass condiment.
Wait.
Trash ass rotten milk clowns.
Oh, you're a Mayo hater, Eddie?
I'm a Mayo hater. I'm especially a Duke's Mayo hater. The fucking usurpers stealing away the Cheez-It Bowl from us.
Oh, okay.
My hatred of Duke's mayonnaise is long known on this podcast. They can go straight to hell.
Well, you know, the other downside to it is they teased us in that bowl game. They had a big cooler with a gigantic Duke's Mayo label on it.
Clowns.
We all thought it was going to be a Mayo bath. We were all prepared. Like, that was the storyline of that bowl game. The time I have not seen the timeline all season light up. That we're going to get a Mayo bath, baby. We're going to have it. And then it was fucking water.
They're bad people.
Such a disappointment.
Bad people with a bad condiment who should not be involved in this beautiful sport.
Well, anyways, let's talk about the actual football game. Clemson's a 3-point favorite. The total is 50.5. Oh, Lord, does that look low? Just saying. Anyways, Eddie, who do you got?
Man, I am so, so psyched for this game. Possibly a playoff preview, as you and I talked about last week.
As we have said.
I think this is going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. With that hook going away, though, it makes it a whole lot easier to go to Clemson. Georgia seems to pull defeats out of the jaws of victory in these games more often than not. I feel like Georgia's biggest strength coming into this year is the defensive line, and arguably Clemson's biggest question mark is the offensive line. But we've seen what DJ Uiagalelei can do. He is a big, speedy motherfucker. So even if they do get through, is Georgia going to be able to bring him down? I don't know. I feel like DJ is going to be able to scramble and make plays still. I don't know if Georgia's offense is going to be able to do enough. You're in Charlotte, so should be a more pro-Clemson crowd. With the hook gone, only a three-point spread, I'm going to go ahead and lay it with Clemson. I think they win a close one. I think it stays a one-score game. I think they can cover. I think it should be 7 points, but this is going to be a battle. I could not fucking wait for this game.
Yeah, this is going to be a great one. I'm with you on Clemson. I tried to talk myself into Georgia a lot today, even listening to the solid verbal. Man, Ty, dude, you listen to Ty. Man, now that he's quit his job and he's able to go full-time solid verbal, man, he's jazzed, and he is super jazzed about Georgia. Crazy man picked him to win the SEC. But, look, I'm tapping the brakes on Ty's enthusiasm because – like you said, we've seen DJ Uiagalelei. We've seen what that man can do. He is big. He is mobile. He will make things happen, not just with his feet, but through the air. And in the two games he played in the Trevor Lawrence COVID exposure absence, he put up numbers, y'all. He put them up. He put them up against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame basically had a hold serve. And when you talk about bringing DJ down, they only brought him down at the tail end of fucking double overtime when he was trying to push and force something to happen when they finally got in the fourth down situation. So I agree with you. He's going to be hard to bring down. I don't really think this is going to be one of Georgia botching it, even though you're right. As far as big games go, like probably the biggest game they won was at home against us. You know, kudos, tip of the hat to you, but this is another level. We've talked about that there's a certain tier in college football, and Clemson's up in that tier. Notre Dame was not quite there when they played Georgia. They were somewhat there when they played Clemson, but they weren't on that Trevor Lawrence tier. Now you got DJ. He's had some practice. And you know what is also pushing me over the edge, Eddie? If we're going to talk about, you know, sponsors and stuff like that, the glory that is Dr. Pepper has taken the NIL rules. They have run with them. DJ Uiagalelei appears in the Dr. Pepper Fansville commercial, y'all. I got a soft spot in my heart for Dr. Pepper. I love that drink so much.
Here's the thing. You know,
here's another bad opinion.
Diet Dr. Pepper is like 20% of my bloodstream at any given point, probably. I don't know if being associated with a Dr. Pepper commercial is a good thing for DJ. Let's remember what was Larry Culpepper.
That was different. They got rid of Larry. Fansville's a whole other level.
I'm just saying, man, being part of a Dr. Pepper fan campaign is not necessarily a good thing.
Larry Culpepper was the level worst, but what they've hit such a sweet spot with Fansville. Like, my favorite part about it, I want to know the kid that loves lacrosse. His storyline I love so much because he's going to Coastal. They don't even have football. I'm just waiting for him at one point in the commercial just to tell his dad, I don't want your life.
Wasn't that the same couple that the wife fucked the opposing fan? No,
that's
a different
couple. That's the other one, yeah.
Fansville is rowdy, dude. It's the my mom watched a bunch of soap operas when I was growing up. Fansville is on some stories shit.
They have added that they uncovered the transfer portal. Like, look, there is some lore going on, some deep ass lore, and they have brought DJ Uiagalelei to the fold. And the way they introduce it, you'll see it a million times. But like the sheriff is like, they could put players in commercials now, and he looks up at the TV. There's DJ smiling with a Dr. Pepper in his hand. I'm like, yeah, get that money, son.
Hey, yeah, cash those checks, bud.
But yeah, look, you got the power of Dr. Pepper behind you, and we've seen what you can do. Look, here's the other part we haven't talked about. The quarterback that's leading Georgia to the promised land is, let me check my notes, JT Daniels? Son. He's good. Look, he's good. But we've seen that show. We've seen how that script ends out.
True.
Good luck, Georgia. You got a lot of talent. You got a lot of skill position. What I am interested to see on the Clemson side is, what does life look like for the backfield after Travis Etienne? Now, we know they got studs in the backfield, but I really want to see what that rushing attack looks like, especially with the questions on that offensive line. Want to see how the front seven looks on Clemson, because that will really kind of show how stout they're going to be if we do think they're going to be the 1-2 like we thought in week zero. But yeah, glory to Dr. Pepper, I guess. Go to hell, Duke Mayo. You didn't send me a t-shirt. I don't have to say nice things about you. You bribed Jack. You haven't bribed us.
Don't try and bribe me. I'll set that shit on fire. You're trash. Trash.
Oh, God. I want to see how Duke's Mayo would handle that, because it would be probably absolutely hilarious.
More like Puke's Mayo. Got him.
All right, let's move on. I think we spent more time talking about brands than by far the best game of the week. Oh, that's what you come here for.
We stay on brand on this podcast.
Oh, man, that's amazing. All right, well, I really wish this was a later kickoff than it was, because I really need like a good solid like 8-9 p.m. kickoff here. But you know what? I'll take what I can get. LSU's been through enough. Again, we got hurricane scenario coming here, but they walk in as a 3-point favorite against UCLA. Total on this one is 65 points. This will be your Fox primetime game, and because they're special little fucking snowflakes, they're going to start this game an hour later than Georgia-Clemson, which completely screws up everything. Look, at least when there's halftime, you can focus on football. Yeah, you're giving me a look, Eddie, but...
That's having the staggered start is fantastic. Why would you not like that?
I love having everything on at once.
You're a psychopath.
No, I'm not a psychopath. It's having everything. You get your blocks, man.
But this way you can get full focus on one of them. I mean, you and I both go multi-screen setup anyway, because it's not like those are on. But now you can have on the main event, like, you're guaranteed to get the end of both on the main. Like, that's a great thing.
Yeah, okay. I don't like Fox's bullshit scheduling overall.
I mean, Fox is trash in general, but...
Yeah, all right. Anyway, moving on. We got LSU, we got UCLA. LSU, the 3-point favorite. Look, I tell you what, the poor Bows. Oh, man, they got hammered by Chip Kelly. Yeah, that looked like the Chip Kelly of old. Bring the visor back. I guess you bring the offense back or whatever. Look, Hawaii was completely outmatched in that game. Won't be the case here, but I tell you what, I hate picking this game because I don't know what to think about LSU, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Just an abject failure after having Bo Pelini there. It was extremely confusing to watch LSU just be completely lost on defense. And not just a little bit. We're talking all damn season long. It started when Leach pulled down their pants. And if it was either week one or week two when they did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like for the rest of the season, LSU's giving up like 40, 50 a game, it seems like. And now you have them coming in to say, okay, well, we fixed that problem. We ditched Pelini. Now we got a new defensive coordinator. All is well. I don't know. I would think nobody could do worse. I don't know what UCLA's offense is actually going to look like against a more talented team, a heck of a lot more talent. This one's tough. This one's really tough. LSU's got a lot going on. But I think at the end of the day, I still don't trust Chip Kelly and what he's brought to UCLA yet. I still don't think he's got everything implemented in not to compete to the level of LSU. The only way I do see this going sideways is the fact that LSU is having to travel out. They're in Houston right now, so they've already had to do a whole lot of moving around to begin with. But that team is just so much more talented up and down the roster, on paper. They should be able to do a hell of a lot more than 3 points, which is really worrying me that
it's a trap.
We got a trap in this one. But this looks weird, Eddie. I think LSU should be favored a little bit more, but I'll go waltz into it. I'll take lay the 3. Who do you got?
I'm on the Tigers as well. You mentioned poor Hawaii. Hawaii did most of that damage themselves.
They did.
It was turnovers. It was bad special teams play. While the running game looked decent, DTR looked fucking terrible.
This is true.
I mean, UCLA's passing game looked abject horror.
If he had completed a couple third downs, that game would have been a lot worse.
I mean, he had wide open mesh routes that he's throwing 3 yards behind his receiver. And LSU, I realize they had their defensive problems last year. They brought in Durante Jones from the NFL, who had coached under Dave Aranda back when he was the DC at LSU. Spent a couple years in the NFL as coordinator, brought him back to LSU. I think they're going to be a hell of a lot better than Hawaii was, certainly. I would love to find somewhere that I can put money on Derek Stingley Jr. getting a pick this weekend. But they don't give out number 7 at LSU to just anybody. You gotta be something special to get that number. It's kind of like getting number number 3 at Notre Dame. Like, you're gonna have yourself a fucking career with that number. I was not particularly impressed at all with UCLA. I think Hawaii just sucks, and kind of like we talked about last week, unless DTR can get a hell of a lot better in 6 days, 7 days, which I don't think he can, I think LSU wins this pretty easily. You know, if I was a real good person at doing podcasts like this, I would go look up what the out-of-conference record between Pac-12 and SEC teams are, but I just didn't put that much effort into it. And I mean, what are you going to do? Not have me back next year?
Oh!
What are we going to do? But yeah, Tiger bait, give it to me.
All right. Well, we're going to finish out this 12-pack to open the season with our Fighting Irish heading into the hellhole that is Tallahassee. 7.5-point favorite on the road, y'all. 7.5-point favorite. Total is 55.5. Eddie, the floor is yours.
Questions abound about the Irish. There's no getting around that. What's the offensive line going to look like? What's Jack Cohn going to look like? What the hell are our receivers going to look like? Is Kevin Austin actually a real boy? Is he not a fucking Mandela effect that's somehow wormed into all of the Notre Dame fans' brains over the last 4 years? On the defensive side of the ball, you just lost one of your top defenders in Merritt Liafu. You lost arguably the best linebacker in the country last year with JOK. Who's going to play at safety with Kyle? Can Houston Griffith really stand up? What the hell are the corners going to look like? All that aside, I'll take all of those questions over whatever the fuck they're doing at Florida State. This is still a Mike Norvell coach team. I'm not scared. You don't know what you're getting at quarterback from them. One of the options is McKenzie Milton. I love McKenzie Milton. I thought he was a hell of a player at UCF. I think it's an amazing story that he is even walking again after the insane leg injury that he had. The fact that he's trying to play is amazing. But that doesn't exactly strike a whole lot of fear in my heart, because his entire game was built on his scrambling ability, and gotta think that's not where it used to be. Hell, even SP Plus, our old friend Spaplus, has us covering this game. If Spaplus says Notre Dame can cover, then that means Notre Dame's going to win by 28. Sorry, Jack. You have brought a child into this world just to watch your terrible Seminoles lose a game to us. You should have waited like 2 more weeks. That's on you. It's not our fault. We're laying the points. Go, Irish.
Lay them all. Oh, my gosh. Look. The thing I love about this is that 70% of the money is on the fools at Bet Florida State, and I'm sure some of that helped bring the line down, and thank you for bringing that line down. I'd much rather this be 7.5 than 10.5.
If you want to bring it down to 7 by Sunday, that'd be fantastic.
You know what? It very much could. Keep putting that big money on Florida State. Would love to get rid of that hook. But yeah, if you want to talk about questions, when you release a depth chart and you got an or at quarterback, yeah, that's a lot of fun, FSU. And to your point, look, McKenzie Milton, it's almost a miracle he's playing at all. So you're telling me that the guy you had maybe can't hold up to him? That doesn't say a whole lot about what you had there. And as Shane and I talked about before when we did the deep dive into FSU, they basically went off their running attack is how they did things. So you're hoping that they can do a little bit of something with the passing game and improve there. I think there's a little bit of coach screwing with everybody's head. I think Mackenzie Milton's got this job, so I think he's going to be there. But if the strength of this team is still the rushing attack, well, boy, I tell you what, even without Luafau there, I like our front seven against just about anybody, especially with an offensive line that is really cobbled together with bits and pieces of transfers. Same thing with the defensive side of the ball. Look, Jack Cohn, I'm really glad he's going to be the quarterback for this. He's been in environments like this before. He takes care of the ball. And Kevin Austin, he is a real boy. I've seen the highlights, Eddie. This isn't some deep fake. He's real and he's fantastic.
CGI is great these days, dude. That until I see it in a live game, I will not believe. But at the end of the day, our running backs, real fucking good. We still got Kyren, a.k.a. the Murder Hornet, a.k.a. the Tiger King, a.k.a. the Crop Top Casanova, a.k.a. the Marker Mauler, a.k.a. the Heel Slayer, a.k.a. the Pickup God, a.k.a. Mr. 1K all day, a.k.a. the Alpha Dog.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Let's hope we can add some more.
Oh, we will definitely add some more. But yeah, Notre Dame has too many weapons. They are far more talented. And like you said, not only is this a Mike Norvell coach team, this is a Mike Norvell coach team flying in bits and pieces from everywhere. We talked about the offensive line, had to do the same thing to the defense as well. And there were a few departures, as Shane and I talked about, weren't real depth chart, you know, impactful ones, but just kind of goes to show that he might be a little bit in over his head right now. And look, FSU had a lot of problems to fix. This is really his first full year to get a chance to fix them. All those problems ain't going to be fixed in game one. And like I talked about with Shane, don't give me the whole they're going to win one for Bobby Bowden type thing. They'll have a nice
My God. If this game turns into, like, I'm dreading how much of a circle jerk for Bowden this game is going to be. Like, I wish there was another game on so that I could have ours on mute, because it's going to be terrible.
Well, you know what? This is a good chance for me to promote ColorCast, because I will be on there at some level giving you an audio feed. Now, Eddie, you might have to degrade yourself a little by not only listening to me, but pausing it and trying to sync up with whatever stream delay they have. But it will be there. Check out the ColorCast app. It's out on iOS. I believe Android too now. So I'm gonna have a little bit of fun with them. We'll see what happens. You might get to hear kids in the background. You might get to hear me drink a lot. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's Sunday. I don't have to work the next day. Let's get weird. Let's see what happens.
Or let's just suffer through the ABC broadcast together, I guess.
But yes, I will have details for the ColorCast stuff soon. I'll let you know about that. Man, I wasn't expecting that transition to be so seamless. I didn't even plan that. I didn't even tell you I was going to do that.
No look, LU.
Love it. But yeah, look, Notre Dame's just got way too much firepower. And it's really funny. Everybody else has the questions of like, well, can Ohio State reload? Can Alabama reload? Can Clemson reload? The answer is usually always yes. Now, look, Notre Dame, I know, is not on the same tier, but they are on an upper tier of college football, and they can reload. And as far as reloading, the only thing that they're really reloading with is they took the all-time winningest quarterback and just replaced him with a very good, functional quarterback that takes care of the ball in an offense that can rush very, very well, in an offense that's getting a lot of wide receivers back. This team is going to put up points. I am not concerned about the hellhole that is Tallahassee. We are going there. We're going to slay some fucking demons. We're going to get to do it in front of the whole nation with everybody watching. And Jimbo Fisher can sit there and smile about his one fucking win he stole from us in 2014 while he stares at his 100-year guaranteed contract with not a single buyout in there. Jesus Christ, Aggies, you make it so hard for me. You make it so fucking hard for me.
9.5 guaranteed for 10 years.
You know, I thought the Charlie Weiss extension was something else. Because it's like, oh, but Jimbo did this in the SEC. Motherfuckers, all Jimbo did is got them close to a playoff. To a team he already lost to. That was going to be the pinnacle there. Is that he would have made the playoff to get beaten by Alabama again. Because everybody was getting beat by Alabama. This is the fucking Bush push contract extension. I cannot wait to hear how much money Texas A&M is going to have to pay. They're going to pay him more money than Bobby fucking Bonilla got with the Mets, man. Bobby Bonilla Day will pale in comparison to Jimbo Fisher Day. Fucking that. God. I wasn't expecting to have that rant, but I invoked the name of Jimbo Fisher, and there we go. Anyways, that's my pick. I did my rant thing. Lead us out, Eddie.
Just beautiful. Kids, we're back. It's week one, starting tomorrow night. You've got 4 days, 5 days, I'm sorry, of college football. We got Thursday games. We got Friday games. You got all Saturday. Your boys are on Sunday night. And then Monday, Kiffykins is waiting with a little Labor Day special for you. Remember how I told you to pretend that you care about your family last week? This is why. Tell them to shut the fuck up and get out of the room. It's football time, baby. Oh, but Daddy, I want to put a puzzle together. Then learn how fucking puzzles work, child. Get out of my room. It's football time. It's back. Fans will be in attendance. The drinks will be flowing. Hopefully smoked meats will be delicious. And kids, you know those tickets are going to be frosty. So get your bets in. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the football. We love you. We'll be back with you next week. And as always, Hail Gambler. Go Irish.
That will wrap it up for us. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you subscribe over to our podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you have to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure you join us tomorrow night, 9 p.m. in God's time zone for the HLSM, twitch.tv/HerLittleSons, HerLittleSons.com/Discord for the live chat channel, and of course, you can always find us at our home at HerLittleSons.com. Till next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Seminoles. Have a good one.